Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, by Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements, and by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I'm Dan Small. I'm here with Jeff Kelman. It's Memorial Day weekend. I imagine you've got plans, maybe a family get-together or some travel. I hope your plans include some outdoor activities. I know mine do, and I'm sure Jeff's do as well. If you missed something on today's show, or perhaps you want to hear it again, you can listen 24/7 at lake-link.com or at hardwater-angler.com. We've got a great giveaway again this week, and we'll tell you all about that in just a few minutes. Well, let's kick things off with the Madison Outdoors Report, brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and by Dwyer Marine, Madison's G3 boat, Apex pontoon, and Yamaha outboard dealer, located at 2410 South Stoughton Road, just south of Farm and Fleet, and on the web at dwyermarine.com. And joining us once again is Dwyer Marine Pro Staffer, Duffy Cup. Well, Duffy, how's the fishing been now? It's a little warmer weather we've had, finally.
Well, a little bit warmer, but we're still battling the inconsistency. I know one of the guides in the area put his boat in on Saturday morning, and as soon as he put it in, he looked down, and it was only 53 degrees. Mm. So we're still battling some cold water around here. Mm-hmm. But things are starting to pick up. I'll go through a litany of things here very quickly.
Sure.
Lake Wisconsin, guys are catching walleyes trolling. I think there's a lot of smalls involved, but I know a couple guys that are throwing it right in a prop wash, and they're having success with that. The crappie action is still very good. Some people are picking up largemouth bass and pike in some of the sloughs, but inconsistency is still the key word up there. Wisconsin River, I think this is probably the most consistent at this point. Your saugers and walleyes below the dam. Guys are picking up some smallies. White bass are being very active and musky, and the water levels are pretty much at normal levels for this time of year, so there's not a lot of water moving through that dam.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Mendota, guys that I know that get around, I know guys are catching bluegills around Marshall Park. Guys that are trolling are working the north side of the lake, which kind of makes sense since that's the warmest part this time of the year. But the main lake, you get in the middle, that water is still pretty darn cold. Largemouth are being caught in the shallows and under docks. Guys are picking up smallies. And there are lots of big carp out there for anybody that's interested. Monona, gills in Squaw Bay. There's bass and a few muskies in the mid-30s being caught. Wabisa, crappies are in the full spawn mode there. And between Monona and Wabisa, I don't know what, but I know a guy that had a customer out the other day, caught a 47-inch muskie.
Mm-hmm.
So the muskies are active, but they're inconsistent. And they're picking up bass on plastics out in front of Christie's, pretty active out there. Even Wingra, panfish from shore, muskies again, inconsistent.
Well,
that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's going to pick up when we finally get some stable weather. That's May, though, here in Wisconsin. You know, it's hot one day, cold the next, and that's just typical. Say, did you bring enough donuts and coffee for your breakfast at the boat launch?
Just barely, barely. I gauged her pretty good this week. I think we had 2 donuts left and about 4 cups of coffee.
Wow.
So, as I said, we met a lot of nice people. We met some of the bigger name guides in this area, and we're getting the word out about Dwyer Marine and the G3 boats, and I think it's going to pay off for us.
All right. Well, where are you this weekend?
This week we're going to be at the Olin Park boat launch on Lake Monona.
Mm-hmm.
I plan on being there starting at 6 o'clock, so if you're interested or you're going to be putting your boat in on Monona on Saturday, stop by. We'll be right by the boat launch. We got a little table we set up out there. Say hi, have a cup of coffee and a donut. If you want to talk about boats, we can do that too.
Okay. Now, I understand you almost sold a boat last week at the
well,
launch.
It seemed to be they were very, very interested, and they're going to check back in with Mike, and I think that maybe we've got a boat sold out of that one.
All right. Now, you say you talked to some of the big names. Who were those folks?
I talked to Ronnie Bearfield, who is the only full-time guide here in the Madison area.
Sure, know him well.
I talked to Lee Talkin also, and, of course, he's full-time into the fishing industry. And both of those guys were very interested because they don't know where Dwyer Marine was, and we've got them convinced that we're a viable operation at this point,
yeah,
and that we follow up the sale with great service.
Well, that's the important thing, is just getting the word out. You know, Dwyer, of course, Mike Dwyer has been around for many years with Madison Truck Equipment, but now the boat business is something new for the last couple of years, and we're glad to have you guys aboard, and we hope that we can help bring attention to the business and to the service that you guys provide.
Well, it's the thing I tried to tell people is you can get great boats from us between the G3s, or if you're interested in the pontoons, the Apex pontoons, and then the great follow-up service that we're promising people, and we are committed to follow through on those promises. And Dwyer Marine can offer some services that other marine places are not capable of doing those types of things.
Absolutely. Well, Duffy, we got to move on, so thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again next week.
Very good. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. The Madison Outdoors Report, brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources and by Dwyer Marine, Madison's G3 boat, Apex pontoon, and Yamaha outboard dealer, 2410 South Stoughton Road, just south of Farm and Fleet, on the web at dwyermarine.com. More Outdoors Radio coming up.
Dwyer Marine is Madison's and Southwest Wisconsin's G3 boat, Yamaha outboard, and marine electronics dealer. Dwyer Marine's large staff of experienced mechanics can service and repair any aluminum boat, including welding, riveting, and custom manufacturing. Located at 2410 South Stoughton Road with Madison Truck Equipment, Dwyer Marine is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 6, and Saturday, 9 to 3. Find them online at dwyermarine.com or call 608-222-5591. That's 222-5591.
Remember, you can call us anytime at 414-297-7554 to enter our weekly giveaway or leave us a message. You can also email us at outdoorsradio@gmx.com. Let us know what you want to hear on Outdoors Radio. Well, Jeff, what I want to hear is, did you finally put a turkey to sleep last week?
My turkey hunting was so good, I went out and bought a fishing license.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was horrible. I don't know. I know there's no magic wand for any of this stuff. But if there's one thing that I'm convinced I'm not that good at, it's turkey hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 4 years in a row, seven periods out of those four years I've hunted. And I have yet to have a bird within range,
ooh,
let alone shoot one.
Yeah.
So I'm doing something either incorrect or I'm hunting in the wrong places. So it is what it is. I thought I was going to get a chance this last weekend through the fog. Ended up being a couple of cranes walking through.
Oh, no kidding.
I had it all ready. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, those have long necks.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I've been hunting turkeys for 25 years, and there are seasons when I can't cut a feather, and there are seasons when they just fall into my lap. And this season, it was both.
Yeah.
I hunted in New York, got a jake. I hunted in Wisconsin 2 days hard, took a jake at the end of the second day, saw a lot of birds. And then fifth period, the easiest hunt I've ever had. I was done in a half hour, yeah, with a nice tom. And then sixth period, I hunted as hard as I ever have in my life. 5 days straight, I was in the woods by 4:30, and I had birds talking and working every single day, never fired a shot. So
yeah,
you just got to stick with it. But yeah, as you said, you bought a fishing license. It is
finally
now
husband and wife license, my wife.
Oh, yeah, good for you.
It saves like $9.
Uh-huh.
It's like $31 for a husband and wife license.
Oh, that's a deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's $20 otherwise if you buy it, you know, singly.
Sure,
so
sure. And now she's got to go fishing with you.
Yeah, she wanted to. She brought it up. She says, why don't we buy a fishing license? So,
cool,
you know, this weekend, you know, we got a little bit extra time. Why not?
Absolutely. All right.
So, show coming up. We talk about the giveaway first.
Yeah, let's mention the giveaway. Once again, a bug spray gift pack. And you can enter the drawing by calling us at 414-297-7554. Leave your name and number and just mention the bug spray giveaway. Or send us an email at outdoorsradio@gmx.com.
Yeah, cool show coming up today. We're going to talk to Kirk Warner a little later on. He has a fly fishing kids book,
yeah,
out, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that. Dan Fitzgerald will join us here in just a few minutes. He's going to talk about a Boy Scout troop he's involved with that also is getting involved with the jamboree that you guys are having.
That's right.
At Lake Delton.
Yep, next
and
weekend.
Then, next weekend already. Holy cats, time is flying by. Jim Klatt will join us of the Union Sportsmen's Alliance for the Boots on the Ground initiative and talk to us about what that is. We know it started here in Wisconsin. He's going to tell us more about that program in just a few minutes. More Outdoors Radio right here.
Looking for a local Wisconsin bass, walleye, or muskie fishing contest to compete in? Or maybe to take the kids to see fish at the weigh-in? You'll find them at AmericanFishingContest.com. With more than 600 fishing contests listed in Wisconsin and more than 10,000 listed nationwide, AmericanFishingContest.com is the largest online directory of fishing contests and tournaments. AmericanFishingContest.com. Find one to attend. Milford Hills Hunt Club now offers the services of Master Gunsmith Andy Liebelt. With 22 years' experience, Andy can clean, repair, and restore modern and antique pistols, rifles, shotguns, and muzzleloaders, and make obsolete and custom parts. No job is too big, too small, or too hard. Andy also buys and sells used guns. Open Wednesday through Sunday from 8 to 4. Mention Outdoors Radio with Dan Small through June 30th and save 10% on a complete gun cleaning. Call 920-390-9049. Or log on to MilfordHills.com.
Welcome to the Pearly Gates.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why I'm here. I was fishing with some buddies, went to net the fish, next thing I know...
Says here you weren't wearing your life jacket.
Nah, we never do.
Yeah, of course you don't.
Today's life jackets are more comfortable, less bulky, and much more appealing. Oh, and they can save your life, too.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, there's a whole group of you on Cloud 6.
When you get in the boat, wear it, Wisconsin. A message from the DNR.
Chocolate lovers, don't miss the 25th Annual Chocolate Fest, May 27th through the 30th in Burlington, Wisconsin. The fun starts at 4 p.m. on Friday and lasts through Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy chef demos, the Chocolate Experience Tent, dozens of vendors offering chocolate and other sweets, including Dan Small's Fish and Game Gourmet Products, plus fireworks, Choco Olympics for the kids, chocolate eating contests, and live music by Pat McCurdy and Jason Mason. For ticket information, maps, and a schedule, visit ChocolateFest.com.
The law offices of Hupie and Abraham collects tens of millions of dollars each year for car accident clients. With offices throughout Wisconsin and Illinois, Hupie and Abraham and their knowledgeable staff will go wherever it takes and will do whatever it takes to represent you. If you have been in an accident and need serious and experienced representation, call Hupie and Abraham at 800-800-5678. That's 800-800-5678. Or visit them on the web at hupie.com. HUPY.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Attention boaters and charter captains. New Bug Slayer RTU is the first EPA-approved pesticide with bonding agents for use on boats. Treat your boat, cover, and mooring lines now and keep them free from spiders and crawling pests for months. And don't forget Bug Spray Biting Fly Repellent to keep yourself and passengers safe from biting flies and gnats. Bug Spray products are available at marinas throughout Wisconsin or online at sportsmanscatalog.com. That's sportsmanscatalog.com. SportsmansCatalog.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. This portion of our show is brought to you by Ironclads, the soft bait revolution, and by the Lake Delton Youth Fishing Jamboree, Saturday, June 4th at Comincy Park in Lake Delton. I'm Dan Small here in the studio with Jeff Kelman. Joining us on the phone now is Dan Fitzgerald, whose son, Bergen, is a member of Boy Scout Troop 155 in the DeForest area, just a little ways north of Madison. And Dan, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, you've been active in scouting through your son's participation, as you mentioned to me. How do you see the role of scouting in helping boys develop their skills, whether it's social, practical, or other skills?
Exactly. The scouting, my son's been involved in Boy Scouts now for 5 years. And the scouting opportunities that have been provided to us really have created great learning experiences that myself and my son can work together to develop his communication skills, his leadership skills, and his overall decision-making skills. So anytime that we can get him exposed to opportunities where he can build his self-confidence, such as his fishing jamboree, we certainly jump on those chances and really take the time out to develop him as a young lad.
Mm-hmm. Now, he is just getting started at the Boy Scout level, right?
Correct, correct. This is his first year.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, my partner here is an Eagle Scout, and
yep.
You can certainly attest to the things Dan is talking about.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's I couldn't fathom my childhood without Boy Scouts. I mean,
really?
It was so cool, yeah.
Yeah. Neat. And I guess that's the case with Bergen, isn't it?
Yeah. He really enjoys spending time, and he looks forward to the opportunity where they meet on a weekly basis, and he doesn't miss a single week.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that last year you brought Bergen and a couple other scouts to the Lake Delton Fishing Jamboree, and you're planning to come back again this year, which is coming up on June 4th. Tell us about your experience there last year.
Yeah, last year I met Ben Hobbins in a coffee shop, and we struck up a conversation about how we were both enthusiasts about fishing. And he mentioned the opportunity, and that last year was the first fishing jamboree that was held. So, you know, at that time I thought it would be very interesting for my son and I to participate in that. And we invited one of our other scouting friends, the Myers. They have a son, Jacob and Nicholas. And we attended the first annual fishing jamboree, and from that point on, it was just a very well-run event. The activity and the action and the overall structure of it was ideal for scouting. Last year, as we showed up, we were welcomed with by several people, and we brought our own fishing gear, and they had a tent set up where you could be in shade. They had mentors there to assist you on different fishing techniques. And as soon as we could get ready and get our poles in the water, and the kids were very anxious, without exaggeration, as soon as they could cast, I couldn't even get the bait on the second pole before a fish was being caught.
Mm-hmm.
So the setup and the structure were they handed out fishing logs, which is the overall concept of it, is to catch the fish, record the fish, measure them, and then release the fish back into the lake. And this log that's being assembled by all the participants are collecting important information for the DNR biologists as they evaluate the growth patterns in the fish that were stocked the previous year. So this year it's going to be even more exciting to fill that log out a second time and see the growth that we had from 1 year to the next year. So as we caught fish, released fish, we filled out these logs, and as we returned them back into the DNR at the end of the morning, we enjoyed a shore lunch. They handed out gift bags for the kids. So it was overall just such a great experience for a father-son combination that both the Myers and myself said this is something that we really got to promote and the best avenue we thought we could impact other father-son combinations is through the scouting district that we have. So we came back. We shared the photos and the experience that we had with the rest of the troop in the pack. They put it up on our website, and you know, from last year till now, we've been promoting it through as a wonderful opportunity to take your kids out and learn some fish wildlife, both fishing and wildlife management, and the aspects of that. So we're actually also trying to promote, as you get into the Boy Scouts, a chance for merit badge recognition. And with merit badges at the Boy Scout levels, it's quite an intensive requirement to achieve a merit badge, but this is an ideal structure. So I've reached out to some of the merit badge counselors, both for the fishing merit badge and for the wildlife conservation merit badge, that it would be an ideal situation if we can work on getting some merit badge clinics to occur at this event sometime in the future. So as we continue our efforts with the scouts and exposing this event, that's where my energies will be spent.
And we know that this is has been a successful event, and we also know that both DNR and Wisconsin Tourism representatives will be there this year, and we understand that they're planning to use this event as a model for other events to be held around the state. So it may actually be a seed that we've planted here that'll take off and grow elsewhere in the state. At any rate, we look forward to seeing you again on June 4th, and other folks who are interested can actually get their registration forms at the Baraboo Gander Mountain Store. That's the best place to do it because They are kind of coordinating enrollment or registration, rather, for the event, although people could show up the day of and register as well. Well, Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to spread the great word on this great opportunity for kids and adults to get to work together for fishing.
You bet. And we'll see you on June 4th.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
All right. That was Dan Fitzgerald. His son, Bergen, is with Boy Scout Troop 155 in DeForest. And this portion of our show brought to you by Ironclads, the Soft Bait Revolution, and by the Lake Delton Youth Fishing Jamboree coming up Saturday, June 4th at Kaminsky Park in Lake Delton. More Outdoors Radio just ahead. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. I'm here with Jeff Kelman. Our show is brought to you today by Hupe and Abraham, a powerful law firm with a proven record of large settlements. You can find them on the web at hupe.com. And joining us now is Jim Klatt. He is the Boots on the Ground Manager for the Union Sportsmen's Alliance. And Jim, thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Now, we've heard a lot about unions here in Wisconsin, and a lot of that publicity has been pretty negative as Governor Walker and others are trying to save money, balance the budget, and do those kinds of things. But the Union Sportsmen's Alliance is really a positive story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The organization actually had its official start on 2007, but the genesis of it goes back to 2004.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, a number of the presidents of the international unions, like the plumbers and pipe fitters and the roofers and electricians, became interested in the conservation programs that the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership was working across the country. And TRCP is an umbrella group for most of the other hunting and fishing organizations in the country, like Ducks Unlimited and Pheasants Forever and Trout Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And they work on broad issues like open access, more land for hunting and fishing, wildlife lands management, habitat improvement, and those sorts of things. And the presidents of these national unions, who many of whose members hunt or fish all across the, particularly across the Great Lakes states, saw this as an opportunity to give their union members something else to do besides just going to work, taking training, and all those other things that they do so well. And that worked out very well. From 2004 to 2006, somewhere in that neighborhood, we had 25,000-plus union members across the country who became members of the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership.
Wow.
And at that point, it's the same group of presidents, many of them who were at that point sitting on the board of directors of TRCP, decided that they'd like to take this a step further and have an organization, a formal organization, set up as a membership club. And so we put together the plans and launched the Union Sportsmen's Alliance in 2007. And it's a paid membership club just for union members and their families.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all AFL-CIO unions, and that's about 56 or 57 of them. But the core groups are still primarily coming from the building trades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the ones I mentioned earlier, plus the laborers and the sheet metal workers and the iron workers, cement masons, brick masons. It's that group that launched the idea in the first place. Now, we have quite a number of union members coming from other unions, like the American Federation of State, County and Government Employees, and the American Federation of Government Employees, and even the Airline Pilots Association.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe there might be five of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of NFL players,
no
too,
kidding,
because they do have a union.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Anyway, in 2007, we got this launched, and basically most of the members who were already members of Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership became paid active members, and they pay a nominal membership fee, just like you would if you were in Pheasants Forever or Ducks Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the same kind of stuff. You get our magazine. You get access to other magazines. They get all kinds of goodies on the website. They're in drawings and fundraising things all the time. So it's very much like a normal hunting and fishing club would be, with the one exception that it's a very much an activist group across the board. They don't focus on one single thing. And we kind of brought that to the forefront last year in 2010 when we moved the Union Sportsmen's Alliance out from under the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, and it's now its own 501c4 at this point, but it will be a c3 by sometime this fall, mm-hmm. a standalone nonprofit organization. Same boards of directors, guys. There's like 12 international unions that are the charter unions, and then, as I mentioned before, just about any other AFL-CIO union member can belong to the club. Mm-hmm. And we did that separation from TRCP on purpose because we wanted to be able to provide union members with hands-on kinds of conservation programs in their backyards that they could work on, which TRCP doesn't do. It's pretty much a national policy-driven program.
Right.
So in 2010, we launched what we call the Boots on the Ground, which is the Union Conservation Hands-On Program, and we started it in Wisconsin. I met with the Department of Natural Resources in March of last year, along with the Conservation Committee in the AFL-CIO in Wisconsin. They have one of those, and there are 30 union members, more or less, that are on that board, and they meet actively every quarter with the DNR and go over issues that are pertinent to conservation and union members, and they help out the DNR wherever they can. Mm-hmm. So we proposed this idea to Wisconsin to begin with and asked them to come up with a list of projects that union guys might be able to do. And we offered this as a volunteer program. No money involved from our side because we just don't have that kind of capability, but we have lots of good manpower and skilled manpower. So the DNR over there took a quick look at this. I'd say about a month later they got back to me and said, how about building 100 deer traps? Because mm-hmm. we have to run a white-tailed deer study starting in January of this year, 2011.
Right, right.
And we've got the materials, but we don't have welders in the DNR. And these traps need to be welded. So we put together a program where seven locals in Wisconsin, pipe fitters, welders from the pipe fitters, welders from sheet metal workers and from the iron workers, along with laborers from two locals who hauled materials all over the state. And those guys built those 100 traps, which then went out in the field in January. And I think the DNR is actually putting a cap on this year's records. They trapped a heck of a lot of deer and did radio collaring and ear tagging, and they'll do that again for the next 3 years. Well, that worked out so well that they sent me a list of 71 more projects. And I said, well, you know, we can't probably do all these at once. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, you know, we started branching out. We want to try to do maybe 10 or so really good projects this year in our first year. Well, mm-hmm. we've got projects going on in one stage or another right now in Alaska, in Maine, in North and South Dakota, in Texas and Florida, coming up in Illinois. Probably one coming up soon in Minnesota. Arizona Department called, and they want to do something down there. And New York's probably going to get involved. So we will have projects of varying kinds. So the deer trap thing is one very classic hands-on example where very skilled guys can do something. Mm-hmm. Up in Alaska, the building trades, all the unions together, are helping build a wildlife viewing tower on a refuge north of Anchorage in west of Palmer. Down in Texas, I'll be down there next week, and one sheet metal local is set up to build fish stocking tanks for trailers and trucks for the fisheries department. And another IBW local is actually going to rewire an old fish hatchery that they're going to turn into a wildlife center. So those are the kinds of things that we see as really valuable to the agencies, because it helps them where they're lacking manpower mm-hmm. and sometimes lacking resources to get the job done. And their lists are long because, as you know, most of the states are cutting back and cutting back and cutting back on natural resources funding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This comes along at a pretty good time for them. Our job now is to make sure we can answer every request reasonably and not get overburdened and make sure we do the projects right. The unions are very much in favor of this. They like this idea, and union members are pretty great volunteers anyway. If you kind of went door to door from local to local, you'd find them involved in everything from Boy Scouts to cancer fundraising to seeing eye dogs to all kinds of things that they do as a normal course of events.
Mm-hmm.
And this just puts a conservation spin on the kind of volunteer programs they do.
Well, now, this is great news for union members and for us here in Wisconsin from a lot of perspectives, because, as I mentioned at the outset, we've been hearing a lot of bad things about union members, and this is all positive from what I can see. And you're helping the DNR, which has come under fire for its deer management policies, and helping them develop the tools they need to do the deer research that we hope will answer some questions, and helping the DNR at a time when budgets are tight. You know, this sounds like a win-win-win situation.
Well, we think it is. I mean, we're being pretty optimistic about this, and we being the staff, and this is an organization with not a big staff. Our main office is in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 10 people down there, and we have about 5 field staff people, and we're, besides doing this Boots on the Ground program, we have an events crew, two people plus two people in Nashville, running a whole series of sporting clays events around the country. I think there's 25 this year. We attend almost all national union conventions with it, because this is directly an AFL-CIO program.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlike other union programs that come in from the outside and they just get endorsed
mm-hmm.
by the AFL-CIO. This actually runs directly out of the president's office at the AFL-CIO in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So it is their program, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you think down the road a ways, there's several million union members in the building trades alone. And if we did approximately the same 10% that the affinity groups do, like Pheasants Forever has 100,000 members out
sure.
of 800,000 pheasant hunters, if we did 10%, we'd be at somewhere around 400,000 to 500,000
wow.
members. You know, now that's pretty optimistic at this point, but we could get there. And if you think then about how many volunteer hands there are out there to help with these kinds of projects, it's a pretty stupendous effort.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jim. We look forward to the show and to more work in Wisconsin. And thank you, and our hats off to all the union members who helped us build those deer traps so that we can find out how many deer we have here in the state.
I'd like to know that, too.
All right. I know we all would. That was
thank
Jim.
You
bet. That was Jim Clatt. He's Boots on the Ground Manager for the USA, the Union Sportsman's Alliance, and this portion of our show brought to you by Hupie and Abraham. More Outdoors Radio after this.
Spring is here, and now it's time to get your boat and motor ready for another fishing season. Max Motors at 4224 South Kinnickinnick, just north of Layton and St. Francis, is a small shop that has been doing big things for nearly 50 years. Max is a family-run business that really cares about you, the customer, and your outboard motor. Jeff and his staff at Max work on nearly every type of outboard, and they specialize in older motors. Come to Max for tune-ups, winterizing, and major and minor repairs to outboards and most other small engines. They've got hundreds of replacement props in stock, and the repair lights and repack bearings on trailers, too. Max sells Wisconsin-made products like MiroCraft boats, Johnson outboards and props, Caravan boat trailers, Duraglass duck skiffs, and Cedar Ridge canoes, along with pre-owned boats, canoes, outboards, trailers, and other marine items. Get your outboard ready for spring fishing at Max Motors, 4224 South Kinnickinnick, just north of Layton in St. Francis. Log on to maxmotors.com or call 414-483-4628. That's 414-483-4628.
Easy, don't force it in.
Grab the net.
The beauty.
Thanks, guys. I try to stay in shape.
Talking fish, what the
heck? First time you ever had a bass talk back to you?
What are they calling largemouth?
I just thought I'd tell you what a great job you're doing to keep me healthy. VHS, nasty fish disease.
You mean like removing all plants and animals from your boat?
Yeah.
And draining all the water.
It keeps the riffraff out of my pond.
And not moving fish from lake to lake.
And there are rules about that. Go to the DNR's website. Catch me later.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Chocolate lovers, don't miss the 25th Annual Chocolate Fest, May 27th through the 30th in Burlington, Wisconsin. The fun starts at 4 p.m. on Friday and lasts through Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy chef demos, the Chocolate Experience Tent, dozens of vendors offering chocolate and other sweets, including Dan Small's Fish and Game Gourmet Products, plus fireworks, Choco Olympics for the kids, chocolate eating contests, and live music by Pat McCurdy and Jason Mason. For ticket information, maps, and a schedule, visit chocolatefest.com.
Milford Hills Hunt Club now offers the services of Master Gunsmith Andy Liebelt. With 22 years' experience, Andy can clean, repair, and restore modern and antique pistols, rifles, shotguns, and muzzleloaders, and make obsolete and custom parts. No job is too big, too small, or too hard. Andy also buys and sells used guns. Open Wednesday through Sunday from 8 to 4. Mention Outdoors Radio with Dan Small through June 30th and save 10% on a complete gun cleaning. Call 920-390-9049 or log on to MilfordHills.com.
Welcome to the Pearly Gates.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why I'm here. I was fishing with some buddies, went to net the fish, next thing I know...
Says here you weren't wearing your life jacket.
Nah, we never do.
Yeah, of course you don't.
Today's life jackets are more comfortable, less bulky, and much more appealing. Oh, and they can save your life, too.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, there's a whole group of you on Cloud 6.
When you get in the boat, wear it, Wisconsin. A message from the DNR.
Attention boaters and charter captains. New Bug Slayer RTU is the first EPA-approved pesticide with bonding agents for use on boats. Treat your boat, cover, and mooring lines now and keep them free from spiders and crawling pests for months. And don't forget Bug Spray Biting Fly Repellent to keep yourself and passengers safe from biting flies and gnats. Bug Spray products are available at marinas throughout Wisconsin or online at sportsmanscatalog.com. That's sportsmanscatalog.com. Sportsmanscatalog.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelman, joined now by Kirk Werner. He's a fly fishing expert from the Seattle area and also the author of a series of fly fishing books for kids featuring, get this, Olive, the little woolly bugger. Kirk, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Dan. I take issue with the fact that you've declared me an expert. I'm not.
Well, when you write a book and you're from out of town, you're an expert, I think, categorically,
you know,
almost.
They say that when you can't do, you teach or write about it. So,
uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Well, you write pretty well, and this is a kid's book. I have one. I have the original, I think, the first book in the series, Olive, the Little Woolly Bugger, and it's cutely illustrated, but it's a neat story about this this fly, a woolly bugger, whose name happens to be Olive, and she's also about that color. I'm sure that was part of the plan there.
Yeah, no accident there.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, why don't you tell us about Olive and what happens to her?
Well, Olive was an idea I got several years ago. First and foremost, I'm an illustrator, and I had worked on several different children's books for other authors, and was always amazed at the stories that they'd written and thought, boy, I'd sure like to come up with my own story and then work for myself as an illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I tried to come up with a topic that I was passionate enough about to write, I just drew a blank. And it was kind of like that old Zen riddle where you're looking for something, you'll never find it. And I gave up. I just thought, okay, I'm destined to be an illustrator but not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, about 4 years ago, while mindlessly engaged in mowing the lawn, I had this idea come to me in a flash. And
uh-huh.
It was literally like an epiphany.
Uh-huh.
I jumped off the lawnmower, ran into the house, and started pounding on the keyboard. Until I came up with this long story about a little woolly bugger named Olive.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the story behind the character is that in fly fishing, the woolly bugger is one of the most prolific, world-renowned patterns there is.
Right.
Probably the single best pattern if you're going to have only one for catching all manner of game fish. And Olive is one of the traditional popular colors, so it all tied together nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I poked a little fun at the fact that within the fly fishing community, there's always a little bit of wrangling over what's the most noble or the best way of fishing for trout.
Right.
And the dry fly fishermen are always in argument with the nymph fishermen and so on and so forth. So I built a little of that mirror of the real world into my stories, and there's a little bit of... little bit of drama that takes place between Olive and some of the dry flies. And
well, now, what is your goal? Obviously, you want to do something more than just tell this tongue-in-cheek story about different trout flies.
Well, sure. It's first and foremost, I hope that kids just enjoy them for the story that they are. But beyond that, there are important lessons, not the least of which are the lessons that take place in real life. It's not just a story about these flies that go off and catch fish, but there's important life lessons that I tried to subtly communicate about tolerance for others and perseverance and how bullying is a bad thing. You know, they're just the back kind of the side stories going on, but it's important to try and teach kids a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, fly fishing is the backdrop to tell the whole story, but ideally the kids that I want to read this most are the kids who don't perhaps come from a family that's already involved in fly fishing. I'd like to use them as a recruitment tool to get kids interested and maybe curious about trying fly fishing if they've never learned anything about it before.
Mm-hmm. And you have some experience in getting kids started in fly fishing, don't you?
I do. I've got two kids. My son, who has become quite a fair fly fisherman, and my daughter, who has no interest in it whatsoever. So I've succeeded with one and failed with the other.
Well, you haven't failed. You've just identified successfully that she wants to do something else, you know?
Well, exactly. Yeah. She's in college now, and I'm thinking that maybe the older she gets and she can appreciate maybe some fine quality time spent with the old man, I may get her out yet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, okay. Well, and how does one get a kid started? I presume that if you're a fly fisherman, you've already, and I know a lot of our listeners are, that you've already got your kid an outfit or loaned him or her an outfit of your own. But let's say you're not a fly fisherman. How do you get a kid started?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to probably visit a local fly shop and talk to the people that can give you some tips, because I think it's real critical that you can put the rod in their hand and take them out to a river or a lake shore, but I think most critical is how you approach that. You really want to take kids out somewhere where they're going to get a fish on their line.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to take them out and present them with an all-day challenge to maybe hook up with one fish.
Right.
So pay your local fly shop a visit. Find out where there's some pretty productive, easy fishing for kids, and make that your first step. Take the kid out. Don't go fishing yourself. In fact, when I took my son out at first, I left my rod back home, and I took one rod, and it was in his hand, and I worked with him
right
to make sure he got the fish on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are to the point where you want to go out and actually find gear for kids, there's a lot of it available, and it's not always terribly easy to find, because oftentimes there's so many choices, and as a beginner yourself, you don't know what's good, what's reputable. In fact, a little side venture I've started recently is a website called TakeKidsFlyFishing.com, and it's nothing more than a comprehensive listing of all manner of gear, from rods to reels to waders, boots, fishing vests, hats, sunglasses, camps, kid-friendly guides and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's intended to provide a hub of information for parents where they can go to one place and find all the information that they need to enhance their child's fishing experience.
Okay. Well, Kirk, we've got to move on, but we will certainly send folks to your website, actually both sites, TakeKidsFlyFishing.com, an easy one to remember.
Yep.
And the site for your books, Olive the Woolly Bugger, with two O's and two L's, woollybugger.com.
Well, thanks very much, Dan. I appreciate this.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and good luck with your quest to get more kids into fly fishing.
Thank you. Tight lines to you.
Hey, all right. That was Kirk Werner of the Seattle area. Check out his website, olivethewoollybugger.com, or takekidsflyfishing.com. More Outdoors Radio coming up next.
Dying to get out in a new boat? Hi, this is Alan Bell from Cedar Lake Sales, and I have something that'll make your wait a little shorter. What matters most in a boat purchase? Time and time again, boat owners say superior durability, exceptional design, and unmatched value. And that's what you get with Crestliner Boats and Mercury Outboards. Crestliner Boats that offer more and do more at a competitive price, and all backed by the industry's only true lifetime warranty. No one does it better than Crestliner, Mercury, and Cedar Lake Sales. Cedar Lake Sales is Southeast Wisconsin's largest Crestliner Crestliner dealer with a complete line of fish hawks, raptors, sportfish, and Kodiaks in stock. Maybe you'd rather relax in a pontoon, deck boat, or runabout. We've got them for you. And right now, you can save over $2,200 during Crestliner's Buy Now, Save Big sales event. So hurry into Cedar Lake Sales for instant savings on new or non-current Crestliner boats and a Mercury outboard. Cedar Lake Sales makes it easy by saving you money and giving you unbeatable service. Cedar Lake Sales, Highway 33 in West Bend, or fish the net at cedarlakesales.com.
Easy, don't horse it in.
Grab the net.
The beauty.
Thanks, guys. I try to stay in shape.
Talking fish, what the
first heck? Time you ever had a bass talk back to you?
What are they calling, largemouth?
I just thought I'd tell you what a great job you're doing to keep me healthy. VHS, nasty fish disease.
You mean like removing all plants and animals from your boat?
Yep.
And draining all the water.
It keeps the riffraff out of my pond.
And not moving fish from lake to lake.
And there are rules about that. Go to the DNR's website. Catch me later.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Looking for a local Wisconsin bass, walleye, or muskie fishing contest to compete in? Or maybe to take the kids to see fish at the weigh-in? You'll find them at AmericanFishingContest.com. With more than 600 fishing contests listed in Wisconsin and more than 10,000 listed nationwide, AmericanFishingContest.com is the largest online directory of fishing contests and tournaments. AmericanFishingContest.com. Find one to attend.
The law offices of Hupie and Abraham collects tens of millions of dollars each year for car accident clients. With offices throughout Wisconsin and Illinois, Hupie and Abraham and their knowledgeable staff will go wherever it takes and will do whatever it takes to represent you. If you have been in an accident and need serious and experienced representation, call Hupie and Abraham at 800-800-5678. That's 800-800-5678. Or visit them on the web at hupie.com. HUPY.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Thanks once again for joining us on Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. We've got a weekly giveaway. We'll talk to you in just a few minutes about that. You can call the show, 414-297-7554, comment, question, or enter the weekly giveaway, as we tell you about that in just a bit. We had a poll question last week. We had asked about the state legislature. It is considering several bills on concealed carry of handguns. Do you favor constitutional carry, that is a concealed carry without a permit? Just means if you are a legal citizen of the state of Wisconsin, you are allowed to carry a handgun, concealed.
Right.
Right now, of course, in the state of Wisconsin, you can open carry in places that is allowed.
Without a permit.
Without a permit.
Right.
And there's many bills in the legislature. A lot of people have had different ideas.
Yeah.
And constitutional carry is probably the simplest one to enact and maybe the most fearful one of many people.
It seems to be, one that scares people. But, what did our listeners say? We had a poll.
We had a poll question. 85% said yes, they're in favor of it.
Constitutional carry.
Yeah. And, I guess what surprised me is maybe how high that percentage is. Mm-hmm. I thought in my mind that people would be more in favor of at least going through some sort of training prior to this, because that doesn't include any training and no permit.
Yeah.
So it's just whoever can be hiding a gun.
Here's where I come down on this. It may surprise you. The law now allows you and me to carry in public, and, most people don't do it, but mm-hmm. certainly in the woods, if you're cutting wood or if you're hunting, you can carry a sidearm as long as it's visible.
Yep.
And I used to do it when I lived up north, just to shoot rabbits if I was grouse hunting or just maybe if I was cutting firewood. I've just gotten a habit of it, and I know a lot of people who did. Some people even in town.
Yep, they'll cut their lawn with it on them. Yeah.
Well, if the law allows you to do that, why not allow you to simply carry it concealed or unconcealed?
Yeah.
Now, I would say it's a good idea to get training. I took the Utah training
yep,
for concealed carry that allows you, if you send your money in yep. and get the permit, allows you to carry concealed in, I think, 28 or 30 states.
Right, right.
It yep. was very simple training, spent a day doing it, or less than a full day, maybe 8 hours. I think it's a good idea whether you're an experienced shooter
right.
or not. Should it be mandatory? I'm not ready to say that.
I am against constitutional carry wholeheartedly.
Why?
I don't trust anybody.
you want to see that gun.
No, I am not against concealed carry.
Okay.
I am against constitutional carry.
Uh-huh.
I feel everyone that does it should have a permit, or I should say training.
Training, okay.
I don't care if you have a permit to own that gun. But you already, if you go purchase a gun, I know a lot of people's arguments are, I don't want Big Brother knowing I've got this concealed carry, I'm carrying.
Right.
Listen, you bought that gun from Ganner Mountain or from another legitimate
Midwestern Shooter Supply.
Yeah,
they
another
have
legitimate
a
place. They're going to do a background check on you.
Sure.
That gun is registered to you already. So who cares if you've got a permit and Big Brother knows you have a concealed carry permit? Does that make a difference to you? Unless you're buying guns from a non-legit source, which you shouldn't be doing anyways, you're already breaking the law in that sense, then what would it make a difference if you have a permit?
So your issue is not with the permit, it's with training.
Training
should be mandatory.
Absolutely it should be mandatory. I mean, we do it for kids going out in the hunt, deer hunting and things like that.
Yeah, we let kids hunt without...
And there's only 650,000 people in the woods there. We're all wearing blaze orange.
Yeah.
You're going to let whoever walk around with a gun strapped to their side and not have any training at all?
So how do you then monitor the training? You've got to have some kind of certification
yes.
with the training.
Yes, to allow it to have a, the training would end up having to be tailed with a permit. It would end up having to be tailed with a permit. You would have to show your training and purchase a permit.
It's almost like the two go hand in
right.
hand. So.
And if you are found to not have that permit and be carrying a concealed weapon, there is your revocation of allowing you to have a concealed weapon and, monetary fines on top of it.
Well, we'll see where it comes out.
I'm sure that's going to ruffle some feathers. I'm sure, yeah. I'm all for a concealed carry, but, man, you got to teach these people how to use a gun at least.
Well, I think it's a good idea, but to try to mandate that, I don't know. Anyway.
So... Anyways,
yes.
Earlier, Jim Klatt was telling us about the Union Sportsman's Alliance, and they helped out with the Department of Natural Resources building these deer capture traps.
Right.
And we actually had that spot running on our air about asking people to help out with the capture and tagging of deer. What they did with those, they collared a number of bucks, actually. 396 deer total
wow.
is what they captured.
Wow.
They collared a number of bucks. They ear-tagged a few. What they wanted to do there is find a buck mortality rate.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a big initiative later on this year that will tell you, hey, if you see this collared buck, go ahead and take him if that's what you were planning on doing anyways, because if you don't, you skew their survey, that type of deal. We'll get into explaining
that
later.
That's
going
to be an interesting message to get out.
They also did some research with the does, and they noticed the does that were pregnant, they inserted transmitter inside the does into the uterus that when the fawn drops, that transmitter drops out with them, alerts a radio beacon, and they have search parties right now in the Shawano area and the Winter, Wisconsin area. And like Jim said, they're going to be doing this for the next few years, tagging deer every winter and then going ahead and doing this every spring. So my wife and I, Eileen and I, are actually going to get a chance to go and do one of these fawn searches on Memorial Day, coming
wonderful.
Up here on Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll be in Shawano doing this fawn search. So I think it's going to be awesome. I'll take some pictures, and I'll come back next week, and we'll tell you all about it. So
sounds great.
Going to be cool.
Absolutely.
Going to be cool. What's coming up in Outdoor Wisconsin?
Outdoor Wisconsin. Well, part three of our series on ironclads. We'll be fishing with them on Crystal Lake with Ben Hobbins, of course, and Chuck Pullman, a guide who also works at the Gander Mountain Store in Baraboo. And the Gathering Waters Festival, June 11th, is coming up, and we'll feature last year's festival on next week's show. And our flashback segment, get this, Walleye Pizza. By the folks who do Black Pot Demos, Cindy and Charlie Overton. Yeah.
Cool. Well, just to let you know, June 11th, also up in Sheboygan County, there is a sporting clays shoot with the Outdoor Family Ministry from Plymouth Alliance Church.
Cool.
That's the Highland Hunt Club. It's $25 plus a lunch. Lunch is included, rather.
Sure.
looking for teams. You can get more information. We'll put it up on your website, Dan, our newsletter, dansmalloutdoors.com. Well, if you missed anything we talked about today, you can check us out online, 24/7, lake-link.com/radio. We're on hardwater-angler.com as well. That is my website. We're on Twitter, Facebook, dansmalloutdoors.com. Dan, that's your website. We got our e-newsletter there. You can check us out all the time. Links to everything, dansmalloutdoors.com.
That's right. And this week's giveaway, of course, a bug spray gift pack. Give us a call at 414-297-7554 or email us at outdoorsradio@gmx.com. I will be, all weekend, I'll be at the Chocolate Fest in Burlington. And next weekend, Saturday, I'll be in Lake Delton for the second annual Youth Fishing Jamboree. So join me at one of those events and join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
And the heron is fishing on one cold leg. When the loon cries blubber in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey,